Genesis chapter 2, look in verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. Amen. And I will make him an helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. Imagine how smart Adam was. Mm-hmm. God created everything, brought them to Adam, and said, I want you to name them.
Amen.
And he said what Adam would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took out one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. You can be seated tonight. In the scripture we see the creation. Man was already created. At this time, Adam was already created, but God in that realized that he needed a helpmeet. God in that realized, I mean, man no doubt was lonely, and I'll be honest with you, I'm lonely when my wife is not around. I love having my wife near me and close to me. It don't matter, friend, whether we're talking or not, just to know that her presence is there helps me. Like I've told you many times, we may sit in the same room and not say 10 words to each other in 3 hours. But just knowing that part of fellowship and that presence is there, it's such a wonderful thing. Now, I'm getting ahead of myself tonight, but if you're saved, can I tell you tonight that's the way it is with the Lord Jesus. I'm glad that when his presence is ever so near, that just makes you feel good, don't it? Amen? Listen, I like being in the same room with him, but even better than that, I like to talk to him and know that he's close. And so we find right here that God created a woman, and that out of the rib of a man, and woke him up and brought the woman to him and said, this is your helpmeet, this is your wife. And God made the first wedding ceremony. Now let me say today that a marriage is more than just a ceremony. I'm going to marry these youngins over here here in a few weeks, but that marriage is going to be more than that day. You're going to have a great, no doubt, I hope you have a great wedding, but the marriage, and that starts after that. And I want y'all to understand that the wedding is just one day, but the marriage is the rest of your life. And so I'm just going to be honest with you tonight with these two or these four, if you let me say that. And I'm just going to go ahead and say it now and get it out of the way. If you'll keep God right in the middle of your marriage, you may have some trouble and problems along the way, but it won't be something that you all can't figure out, and won't be something that will hinder and that your relationship. Now, I'm glad that you've found each other and that to be married. Listen tonight, we've got a lot of folk and that looking for a mate out in the world. As I was studying this message and looking through it, I'm going to tell you the worst place and that for a child of God to find a mate is out in the world. Amen. I don't care what you think about me. I don't care what you think about what I just said. What matters is what this book says. The Bible said in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, he said, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? Hey, listen, when Abraham was looking for a wife and that for Isaac, he told Eliezer, his servant, he said, you go back down to my people. He said, you don't get him a wife at that out of the land of Canaan. Listen, when Rebekah and Isaac was looking and that for a wife for Esau and Jacob. They sent Jacob and that back down to home down there in the Laban's house and that to get some from their people. And the Bible said when Esau saw that the daughters of Heth was going to distress his mom and dad. Now this is how wicked Esau was. He went ahead and married them girls and that out of the land of Heth over there just to spite his mom and dad. I thought, what a horrible thought and that to do. Let me say here that they wanted an act to go back down to their people. What's your people tonight if you're saved? Your people is Christians and safe folk. Best place to find a mate's in the house of God. Amen tonight. But I want to look tonight on what constitutes a marriage. Not talking about what constitutes a wedding ceremony, but what constitutes a marriage. First of all, let me say that the Lord himself instituted marriage. We're living in a day when it's being done away with. We're living in a day when folk just says, just go ahead and live together and try it out. Listen, friend, that's living in fornication. The Bible's against that. The Word of God is against that. I'm against that. And you should be too. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4 says, marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Hey, there's going to be generations and that of people stand before God for the wickedness of shaking up and living together. Amen. There's going to be some moms and dads that's going to stand before God and because they shacked up and lived together, their daughters and their sons done the same thing that they done.
Come on.
You can't say, do as I say, not as I do. You're going to lead by example. But let me say that marriage is honorable. Amen. It's honorable. Now the Bible said that marriage is honorable in all. Can I say tonight that not only is marriage honorable, talking about the Lord instituted marriage. He did not institute shacking up. He did not institute try it for a while. He didn't institute. And let me say this. Just let me park here for a little while. And it's going to get good now. But I'd be careful. And I know we've got some that's looking for a mate. And some that's, listen, I'd be careful about dating if I was y'all. I'd be honest with you tonight. I'd be careful about letting my children date tonight and who they date. What do you mean, preacher? Hey, you turn them loose. I know me and Kelly dated. I know a lot of you in here dated. That's how you found each other. But friend, I am determined on this. That's not the best way to do it. He said, what is the best way? I don't know the best way, but I'm going to tell you right now. Letting two 16, 17-year-olds go out in a vehicle with no chaperone and turn them loose and say, be back home by 10:30 or 11 o'clock. Probably not the smartest thing in the world, friend. How am I doing tonight? So how do you know? Because I was a boy one time.
Amen.
I'm just being honest tonight. I mean, hormones are running wide open. And we tend, as adults, to tend to forget that stuff. Well, I told them to be good. Okay. I'm just being honest tonight. I don't know how we got there, but ain't that good. Amen. But let me say this tonight. Listen to me now. That God not only said that it was honorable, talking about marriage, the Lord instituting marriage, but that he commended it. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, the Bible said, I will therefore that the younger women marry and bear children, guide the house, and give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. So the Lord said right here, as he was talking about the widows, I believe in 1 Timothy 5, he said, I will that the younger women marry. That's the very first thing he said. We've got that thing backwards today, don't we? A lot of them's having children and now out of wedlock, ain't they? The very first thing he said right here is for the young women to marry and then bear children and then guide the house and give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. The Bible went on to say in Proverbs 18 that whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. So, fellas, if you find a wife, you found a good thing. Amen. Ain't that right tonight, men? I found a good thing. Hey, the Bible said that she was a helpmeet to me. And she is a helpmeet to me. As you all said over at the house, I told you as to where you're going to have to take charge of some things, but she's going to have to help you. Right? Ain't that what I told you? Listen, the Lord is going to give her to you and that to be a help to you. And you may have to help him a lot, honey. I don't know. He may need all kinds of help. I don't know, Mason. I can't say. I don't want to make him mad. Well, he don't know me all that well. But listen tonight. Listen, look at me, young ladies. You'd be a helpmeet tonight. There's going to be times. And you know, as independent Baptists, we tend to bow down on this thing. And listen, men, I want you, you're going to have to be the head of your house. You're going to have to take the reins and be the head of it. And when youngins come along, if youngins come along, then you're going to have to make sure things is right there. But listen, you're going to have to be the head, but you need to let her help you sometimes. My wife has kept me out of trouble many times. Why? Because she was the voice of reason when I was the voice of unreason. Now, it don't always work that way. And sometimes we disagree, and at the end of the day, I pull the trigger the way I want to, and ever how the chips fall, they fall. But I never discount what she has to say. I may not agree with what she has to say, but I never discount what she has to say. And so, fellas, let me tell you the same thing. Don't ever discount what they have to say. You may not agree with it, you may not do it, but don't discount what they have to say. Because the Bible said, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing, obtaineth favor of the Lord. He went on in Proverbs 19, said, houses and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. Boy, that's that one that has a little bit of wisdom about her right there. You know, a good wife is given to the Lord, and he said, a prudent wife is of the Lord. And so, ladies, let me encourage you to have some wisdom about you. Have some wisdom about you. And you know where you find your wisdom at? Out of the Word of God. Amen. Let me encourage all you ladies tonight and that are married to have some wisdom. Even if you're not married, to have some wisdom and that about you tonight. But marriage was instituted and that by God. And so let me encourage you tonight to understand that. And let me say this as I explained to these over here, and I know that I told you the same thing when you all were out at the house. And I'll tell you all tonight, we never speak the word divorce in our house. We never say it jokingly. We never get mad and say, well, I'm just going to divorce you. Friend, that word's never used in our house.
Praise the Lord.
Hey, listen, that is a word that can lead down the wrong path. And the wrong direction. If you and I know that you say, well, I'm just going to say it jokingly. I don't mean anything by it. But friend, there's just some things that you shouldn't say at all.
Amen.
And that's one of them things. Don't ever say, well, I'm just going to pack my stuff and I'm going to go. Hey, you need to understand something. When you stand up there and you make that profession and that before the preacher and before God and before all those witnesses, this thing's for life. This is a one-shot deal as far as I'm concerned. I believe God expects it and that to last forever. How do you know that? I'm getting way ahead of myself. But marriage is how the Lord Jesus describes His relationship with the church. He will not divorce us and get another church. Amen. And I'll show you that here in just a minute. But marriage means nothing to folk no more. It means nothing. Bible said in Matthew 24, talking about the end days, he said, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. They were just having a good time. They were married and giving in marriage. I mean, I believe what the Lord is telling us there is they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage. It just didn't mean nothing. Being married means something to me. I don't know if it means anything to y'all tonight, but I believe that it should. Amen. But God instituted marriage tonight. But then, what is a marriage? What is a marriage? It goes beyond the ceremony of a union between a man and a woman. And I believe to have a good marriage, as we look in verse 24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Mark chapter 10, the Lord Jesus, he repeated the exact same thing and said, but from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. And for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. In other words, don't let man and that tear that thing apart. I want you to look. Take your Bible and go to Genesis 5 tonight. I want you to look at Genesis 5 for just a second. Genesis chapter 5, look in verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them. Now watch what your Bible says. And called what? Their name Adam. In the day that they were created. He's plural right there. Their name and the day they were created. God called them what? Adam. When you come together, and as I told you all the other night at the house, you're going to leave home. You're going to have to leave mom and dad. Brother Jeff, I told Bethany, I said, as much as I love you all and love Miss Beverly over here, she's got to go out on her own. I don't know your mom and dad. They seem like sweet people. I met them one time, both. But you've got to go out on your own. You've got to start a relationship, a marriage, and that together. Same right over here. Same thing. Listen, I know mom and dad's still going to be around. They're going to be there to help you. But listen to me, you got to leave home. Every time something goes, every time there may be a little quarrel at home, every time there's a little quibble, you can't run back home to mama. You can't do that. You got to get this thing figured out for yourself. And that with the Lord, listen tonight. He said they twain shall be one flesh. In Genesis 5, the Bible said when God created male and female, He blessed them and He called their name Adam. God put them together. I believe that's how important a marriage is God is putting you together. That's why when you stand before the preacher and you say, I do, and you take them vows over there, very important thing. Very important thing. I think some people take it too lightly.
Amen.
Sometimes.
Amen.
But a man and a woman becomes one. Take your Bible and go to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and look in verse 28. Now after he talked about the wife submitting to her husband and husband to love their wives, and I'll come back and deal with that here in just a second. In verse 28 it says, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. So, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. For we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. Let me stop right here. And he's making a comparison right here of the church and that with Christ. We're part of the body of Christ. Amen. Is that not right tonight?
Right.
Listen, the church is the body of Christ. And so we find right here that he uses that relationship right here. And he said in verse 31, For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. I remember in the wedding ceremony that I use, it talks about them being one flesh and one intent and one heart. And the older you get, I hope the more that you grow together. As I was looking over this message tonight, as I was sitting there this afternoon looking over it, I thought, I loved my wife when I got married, but I love her more today than I did when I got married. I do. Why? I've just learned to love her more. All them little silly things she does. She don't know this, but I love to sit in my study, and I'll shut the door, and it's right off the living room, and I'll be in there studying, and she'll be watching TV. And she'll have something on that is funny. And she'll just be in there cackling at the TV, and I'll just lean back in my chair and listen to her laugh. That brings joy to my heart. It does. Just to know that she's happy. Just to know that she's having a good time. I love to sit in there and listen to her laugh. Listen, you know why? I love her. I love her. She's mine. She's mine. You say, are you being possessive? Yes, I am. She's mine. And I'm hers. And I, just as I'm Christ, and Christ is mine, I'm hers, and she's mine tonight. Amen. Amen. That's how marriage works, you see. There to be no others. God requires faithfulness, does He not? He requires fidelity in a marriage. I mean, listen, it's that marriage, it's that infidelity, that adultery outside of the bedroom, friend, that causes problems in a marriage. You just need to remain faithful one to another.
Amen.
That's why I'm big on you kids not dating a lot of people, if you'd let me say that. I'll just be honest with you, and I'll say it again. Too many are dating too many boys are dating too many girls, and girls, boys, and they give a little bit of their heart there, and a little here, and a little there. And I'm just being honest with you, when they go to get married, they just ain't got a whole lot of heart to give. And you say, well, that's just silly, preacher. No, it ain't. Listen at me tonight. If you're looking for a mate, just let God open the door on that thing. He will. He'll do it. But remain faithful to each other. You remember what I said in the book of Hebrews chapter 13? That marriage is honorable and all, bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 14. One of the commandments that God gave to the nation of Israel was thou shalt not commit adultery. He holds marriage high standard. World may not hold it in high standard. And if you watch much TV and much of, whether it's a comedy or whether it's a drama, a lot of times they're beating marriage to death. The sanctity of marriage. Leviticus chapter 20 says this, and the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. You remember in John chapter 8 when they caught that woman, the Bible said that she was taken in the very act of adultery, and they brought her to Jesus and said, Moses in the law commandeth that we stone her, but what sayest thou? Where was the man at?
That's right.
They took her in the very act of adultery. Where was the man at? Sometimes I kind of think that's what he wrote down on the ground. You know, the Bible said they stooped down on the ground and he wrote something on the ground. And I wouldn't doubt that he wasn't writing Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 10 on the ground.
Amen.
I don't know that. But remain faithful to each other. Ain't no window shopping. Matthew chapter 5 said, you have heard that it said by them in old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her in his heart. You're married to her and She's married to you, and that's just the way it is. You know what got David in trouble? Looking. Ain't that what got him in trouble? Oh, I know that David was not where he belonged according to the book of 2 Samuel chapter 11. But the Bible said after he walked upon the rooftop of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. Got him in trouble. Looking will get you in trouble. That's why the Bible said in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. I've got that O-W-N underlined in my Bible. Your husband, not somebody else's husband, not some other man. And I'll deal with submissiveness here in a minute. Bethany got her wagon loaded there at the house the other night. So she ought to be good on that. Amen. But look in verse 25 in the book of Ephesians 5. He said, husbands, love your wives. Be submissive to your husband. Husbands, love your wives. They're your. You following what I'm saying tonight? I'm being possessive about this thing. Now, you don't love somebody else's wife.
Amen. Come on.
You don't submit to somebody else's husband. You love your husband and love your wife. Right? Am I right, church?
Amen.
Amen. All right. You say this is all primary, preacher. We know all these things. Then why are homes busting up? Why are church homes busting up? I mean, I'm just being honest. Just because you go to church and just because you go to a good Bible-believing church and your preacher preaches the truth, friend, does not mean your marriage will stay together if you don't remain faithful in it. I can preach to you the truth. Let me put it to you like this. I can preach the truth, but if I ain't going to do it, then my marriage is going to have problems. I'm trying to keep these kids out of trouble.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I'm trying to give them a little instruction. Some of y'all could probably get better instruction than I could, but I figure after almost 24 years, I do know just a little bit. I don't know as much as y'all do that's been married for 50 years, but I do know a little bit. Can I tell you tonight, just be filled with love for one another. We go back to this, to where he said, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Colossians chapter 3, Paul said again, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Now, we go back, and I explained it to these kids the other night. These verses are not conditional, one of the other. What are you talking about? Well, it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. And therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So girls, ladies, let me say young, I won't call you girls, young ladies, you be submissive. That don't mean that you'll be a doormat. That does not mean, as I told Hunter, that don't mean Bethany will be his Coca-Cola getter or sweet tea getter all the time. My wife goes and gets me something to drink from time to time. When she gets up, she says, would you like something to drink? And I said, sure. I come in from working just yesterday, had been out in heat for about an hour. A buddy of mine called me, asked me, can I come and help him? I went and helped him for about an hour, come in and sit down. And she said, I bet you would like something to drink. And I said, I sure would. She got up and went and got me something to drink. But you know that I do the same thing for her. There's times that I went and poured her something to drink because that's what she wanted. But I'm getting off track here. But listen, he says to be submissive. That means yielding yourself and that to the will of another. As I said, it don't mean to be a doormat. It don't mean that she's going to be your slave, fellas. But ladies, let me say this. At the end of the day, again, he's got to make the decisions. You can work together and you need to work together. And if I remember right, I believe I told you all this, that you got to give him some room to be wrong about some things sometimes. You're going to be right, ladies. You know that you're going to be right. But you need to give him some room to be wrong. What do you mean by that? Sometimes he just needs to learn some things on his own. And you know what? Even every now and again, and you may not believe me, you're going to be wrong too. And he's going to be right. And so you're just going to have to figure this thing out along the way in the Word of God. Listen, you're going to have to be submissive. I know that there's going to be times you're going to say, I just don't think that ought to be the way that it is. That ought not to be the way that we do this. But listen, just get behind him and go. If there's no scripture for not going, listen, if you can't prove to him and say, right here's what God says, you're headed in the wrong direction, then right there it is, just tell him to pray for him. Let me stop right here and say this. One of the greatest things you can do, ladies, is pray for your husband. Ain't that right? I told my wife the other day, we've got some decisions to make. I believe about God have made. But I said, I just need you to pray for me. I mean, I just want her to pray. I said, pray in earnest that God would give me some direction on some things. And not only did she say that she'd pray, she began to give me some direction of her own. Amen. I appreciated it. I mean, I say that in all jest, but that was okay. I appreciated it. You'll get to some point where you'll appreciate some things with your wife. Like I told you before, honey, if God showed you anything in your daily Bible reading that you can show me, I got to preach come Sunday and I need something. What'd you find, you know? I mean, I'm just having fun tonight. I love being married. But you know why I love being married? I mean, we got our problems. Don't misunderstand us. But we ain't got trouble in our house. We try to keep trouble away from our house. We do whatever we can do to keep trouble away. Oh, we have our spouts. We might get long-winded from time to time. But listen, at the end of the day, I try to keep trouble away. Let me get back to this. I'm getting headed off again. Ladies, you to be submissive to your husband. But these are not conditional one to the other is what I'm saying. And what I mean, you say, well, I would love her like Christ loved the church if she would just be submissive. That's not what the Bible says. And it does not say, well, I would be submissive to my husband if he would just love me like Christ loved the church. They're not conditional one to the other. If your wife refuses to be submissive, you still love her like Christ loved the church. If your husband won't love you like that, you still be submissive. Anyway, let's go to the book of 1 Peter. Again, think somebody tore it out of my Bible. Is it 1 Peter I want to be? Yeah, here it is. 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter 3, verse 1. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. So being in subjection is being submissive, being under the rule of, if you let me say that. In other words, you've yielded your will, that if any obey not the word, that they may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. What's he talking about right there? He's talking about a wife that's got a lost husband. I really believe that's what he's talking about. He said that if any obey not the word, that they may be without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives. Now let me ask you, do you think that that man right there that does not know Christ is going to be able to love his wife like Christ loved the church? Now we know how Christ loved the church. It was a sacrificial love. But we know that he was that in a lot of things that because he loved us so much that he overlooked it all, didn't he? Think about this right here. Let me give you this little tidbit. You go back to Adam. We looked at this in our Sunday school lesson this morning. You look at this. You remember Sunday school this morning? We was looking at it. You remember what he said in there that Eve brought Adam the fruit. Now, why did Eve have the fruit? Because Satan had deceived her, right?
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
But why did Why did Eve have the fruit? Because she was deceived. But why did Adam have the fruit? And I'm picturing an apple in my hand, by the way. Man, I wish I had an apple. But why did he have the fruit? Because his wife brought it to him. Now, God had already said, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? But she did because she was deceived. Paul said that she was, but God, she was the one that was in deception.
That's right.
But when Adam done it, he done it on purpose.
Amen.
He wasn't deceived. Adam knew what he was doing.
Amen.
When he partook of the fruit.
Yes, that's right. Amen.
Christ knew what he was doing when he went to Calvary. He knew why. I believe that Adam partook of that fruit because he loved Eve so much. You can't tell me that she wasn't perfect, that friend, when sin had entered her body. I believe she looked different when he came holding that apple out to Adam. I mean, sin had entered her body, friend.
Amen.
It had to change her.
Yeah.
Sin changes you, don't it? And she was perfect. We're not perfect. And sin changes us. But they're not conditional. If he won't love you like Christ loves the church, you be submissive. If she won't be submissive, you love her like Christ loved the church anyway. Can I tell you again? As long as the Lord's sitting right in the middle of that thing, it'll work every time. Learn to do things together. Learn to spend time together. Right now, you just have no young'uns, and so they don't take any of your time. They take time, don't they, Jeremiah? They do, don't they, Miss Sarah? Young'uns just take time. Had the privilege to eat lunch with them today, and I said, I bet it's never a dull moment at your house. But you know what? They're going to take up time, and you, Mom and Dad ain't going to have as much time to spend together as you once had. Make some time for each other. Make some time to spend together. Learn how to. I tell you, you may be in here tonight, and man, the romance is just not there in your marriage. Hey, listen, you put it back in there. Hey, the Bible said in Proverbs 5, let the fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Hey, rejoice with your wife and with your husband. Pawn them kids off on Mama and Papa for a weekend and take off. You know why? Mama and Papa probably love to have them. if they don't, we'll find you somebody to keep them. My wife was afraid I was going to volunteer to keep them, but I know better. Amen. I know better. Amen. Marriage is far more than a ceremony. Marriage is a life that you're going to live together as one. In the same house. Amen? It's a relationship that you have together. It's about loving one another and becoming one. It's about... Yenzo, get it figured out. It just took us a while to figure some things out. Yenzo, I believe if you'll stay in church, you'll get it figured out.
Amen.
And let me encourage you about that. It's real easy when you get out on your own not to want to go to church. I told y'all that the other night. It's real easy, and that just to... I remember when me and Kelly first got married, it wasn't that... I mean, we'd come out of home that she had to tell her mom and dad pretty much what was going on. I had to tell mine pretty much what was going on. But we got married, and then it's like nobody cared. I mean, we've been telling everybody where we was going and what we was doing and what time we're going to be back and all these things. And then you get married, and nobody cares. It ain't that nobody cares. It's just they're letting you live your life. And so you got to start your life together. And the best place to start, it's in this house right here. Amen. Best place to start, it's in this house. And stay in this house. Because if you'll stay here, it'll work every time. It'll work every time. Let me tell you, men, let me tell you this, that the spiritual condition of your home is your responsibility.
Amen.
It's your responsibility.
That's right.
The spiritual condition of my home is my responsibility. I understand you cannot make her go to church. You cannot make her love God. Any of those things. I understand that. But still, the spiritual condition of your home is your responsibility. I know sometimes that moms have had to pick up the drop shoe along the way. And a lot of times they've done it a lot more than men have.
Amen.
And like I've said many times, this church is still here today because of moms that kept it going. Amen. And I'm not saying the them days won't come. But boys, I tell you, men, I think that would be a shame. I think it'd be a shame for you to be laid up at the house and for your wife just to keep on coming to church. You need to come with her, but you need to come because of the right reason, because you love God and you love her. I'm going to tell you, if you learn to pray together, it'll help you. Learn to pray together. Now, me and my wife, we struggle to read our Bible together. People say, well, you ought to get your Bible down and read. And you should. You probably should read it together. I'm not going to learn that. Sometimes we still do read our Bible together. But it seems like that we have much better, I don't want to use the word luck, but success when we read to ourselves. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes she'll read a chapter, and sometimes I'll read a chapter, and sometimes she'll read another chapter. But then we try to pawn it off on each other to read it all. Amen. While the other one's just laying there listening. But spend some time together in prayer. Spend some time together in God's Word. It would do you good. Can I tell you this? That it would even do you good to turn the TV off along the way and maybe play a game, maybe play checkers together, maybe play I know some of you wouldn't like this. We play Uno sometimes or a game like that. We do that. We'll sit down at the coffee table. And just sit down on the floor and sit there and play. I can't get her to play checkers with me anymore. She beat me one time and she won't play me no more. Amen. You're going to have to play me, honey. Eventually, you're going to have to play me. Spend some time together. Let me tell you now, if romance is gone, figure it out. Spend some time together. It'll work. Last of all, let's look at this right here. I told you I was going to come here. I want you to look in Ephesians chapter 5. And let me go all the way back to verse 22 and I'll read it all. He says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. See, he's already making a reference right here. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of the body, of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Look in verse 32. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. You see what Paul says? He said, I speak concerning Christ and the church right here. He's laying it out, the relationship right here that is being had. He said, I'm talking about how Christ has a relationship with the church and the church with Christ. He says in verse 33, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Let me say tonight that as the church, we don't tell the Lord what he's going to do.
Amen.
He tells the church what we need to do. Right? But he loves us.
Amen.
Loves us with a sacrificial love that he gave his own self so that we could be saved and not die and go to hell. Ain't that something tonight? Listen, just as we have become one and that with the Lord, then that's how marriage works. You become one. You know how you become one? Sometimes you've got to get rid of you to do that. You're so riled up about being you, about getting your way and the way that you want to go. And I'm going to tell you, it's more like this. You're butting heads instead of trying to come together. It's a relationship right here when we talk about the church that is never ending, ain't it? And I believe that's how marriage ought to be. I believe that's how marriage ought to be tonight. Let's bow our heads across the house. Marriage is a wonderful thing. And I love marriage. I love being married. Well, listen tonight. Maybe you need to come and pray. Let's get a verse of invitation, men, if we would tonight. Maybe you want to come and pray. Maybe you need to come and pray with your wife or your wife with a husband. I don't know. Only you know tonight. But tonight, for these two young couples, I believe the Lord wants you to start out good and right. And I've not really told you anything that you probably don't already know and that you don't already understand, but you just got to put into practice. And I encourage you to do that tonight.